Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports, hopefully with a dose of common sense, maybe just a touch of sarcasm here or there, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope that you enjoyed that national championship game last night. Hey, if you would like to contact us, let us know what you thought of that game last night. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Twitter or Facebook. We are over there as well. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Today on the show, of course, we will be recapping that NCAA basketball championship that took place last night between the Villanova Wildcats and the Michigan Wolverines. And actually, you know, we kind of need to recap just all of the March Madness in general, don't we? Like, there were a lot of things that happened that we kind of tend to forget. Got to make sure we touch on a few of those stories, kind of put them in our memory bank for later. Plus, we will have a little bit of breaking news to discuss today. Of course, the big news last night, the Villanova Wildcats win their second title in three seasons, beating the Michigan Wolverines 79-62 in the NCAA championship game last night. And give that Villanova team a ton of credit. Are they a great team? Probably not. But are they a very, very good team? Yeah, no question about that. And a team that loves to play together. You can see that just in the way they carry themselves. You know, that game last night, it started exactly like I thought it would. Honestly, Michigan playing really, really good defense, chasing Villanova off of that three-point line a little, making them work for any shots they got early. And we saw Villanova shooting the ball really, really cold to get started. You could see that Mo Wagner was better down low than anyone Villanova had very early on. Hey, he can shoot a little bit. He can put it on the floor. He is a talented big man. Got a couple early buckets. He hit a three. He had 9 points in the game very, very quickly. We saw Wagner get himself going. But we also saw Mo Wagner do something that many young players do in a big game. And it sounds kind of silly when I say it, but I'm telling you right now, I've seen it before. He forgot to breathe. And that sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Like, he forgot to breathe. Of course, he didn't forget to breathe. He forgot to slow himself down. He's playing as hard as he possibly can in like the first 2 or 3 minutes. He's playing like it's the national championship game. That's a mistake for a young player. You play it like it's another game. Because what happens is all of a sudden, we saw Mo Wagner get himself tired, get himself exhausted. He couldn't keep up. He had to be taken out of the game because he had wore himself out so quick. He had to sit down. Now, the Wolverines did play well early, even with him on the bench. They were getting to the basket early. They were getting high percentage shots, beating Villanova off the dribble. Couple of sloppy fouls by Michigan, but other than that, things were going Michigan's way in the first half. But the one concern I had in that first half, just watching how that game was going, Michigan's got a lead. They're up by 7. You're looking at this, you're seeing Villanova struggle to get shots to fall. You're seeing Villanova struggle to get much continuity in what they want to do. But the concern I had was that Michigan was playing about as good as they could probably play. They're getting contributions from other players. They're playing really good defensively. Villanova can't hit anything. Everything is kind of breaking Michigan's way early. And you know, they're only up 5 points, 7 points. Hey, Villanova's not hitting anything early. You know that run is coming, right? And it was. We knew that it would be coming. Now, one of the things that I really struggled with watching Michigan early, when Wagner came back in, we talked about it yesterday on the show, Villanova is going to switch most all screens. Why wasn't Michigan looking for Wagner on those switches more often? It seemed like they would switch. They would put a smaller guy on Wagner, and Michigan didn't really even look to attack that. They didn't even look to feed him the ball. Hey, when I get that switch and I see a guard on him, Oh, I'm feeding him the ball and letting him go to work. They didn't really do that. Kind of confusing. Not quite sure what that was about. Meanwhile, for Villanova in the first half, they can't get a whole lot going. Struggling to get any offense going. But redshirt sophomore, Dante DiVincenzo, what a weapon for Villanova. You know, he carried Villanova in that first half. Now, you might hear phrases today and in the next few days about DiVincenzo. And you're going to hear phrases like this. You know, he's sneaky athletic. Like, he's kind of a sneaky athlete. Like, he is a much higher jumper and just a better athlete than you think he is. And I'm going to go ahead and interpret what those people are saying for you right here. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, Dante DiVincenzo, he's really athletic, but he's also white. Like, he's really white. He's got kind of reddish hair. Like, he's white, white. People are surprised by it. That's the only reason they're surprised by it. It isn't like he doesn't look like an athlete. Like, when you look at DiVincenzo, it's not like he's like this little fat guy that just jumps out of the gym. Now, that would be sneaky athletic. DiVincenzo looks like an athlete. He runs the floor. He jumps out of the gym. It really isn't sneaky. But again, he is white. So that's why they're going to say that. So when you hear that over the next few days, Dante DiVincenzo, he's kind of a sneaky athlete. No, he's just kind of a white athlete. He's a really good athlete, but he is white. Now, DiVincenzo scores 18 in the first half to carry a Villanova team that, like I said, is just struggling to find any rhythm at all. And give the Michigan defense a lot of credit for that. They were making Villanova work to get any open looks. But as good as Michigan played in the first half, again, we knew that run was coming, and here it came. Villanova makes a 23-7 run to end the first half.
Look how far out this is.
He shot that from Wilmington.
DiVincenzo, wow, this is confidence right here. Had a game in the Sweet 16 against Alabama.
And the team that has kind of been outplayed in the first half still leads by 9 at halftime. Villanova is up at half. And going into the second half, it just all felt really, really precarious because you're looking at Michigan going, hey, don't let this lead get to 11 or 13 or 15 or 17, or this is going to spiral out of control really, really fast. And slowly that is what started to happen. Now, yesterday, we talked on the show, we discussed a few ways that Michigan could compete and maybe possibly even win this game. Did they listen to the Daily Dose? Let's see. Let's run down the list. Few things that we said they needed to do. We said they needed to slow Jalen Brunson down. Hey, they did a pretty good job of that. Kind of felt like Brunson really wanted this too much, and maybe it was just a little too much. He was pressing. Brunson had to work really, really hard for everything he got, though. And I give Michigan credit for that. Brunson finishes the game with, what, like 9 points? Really wasn't a factor. Hey, check that out for Michigan. Nice job. We also said that Mo Wagner had to make Villanova pay for switching all of those screens. Wagner started off strong, but I didn't think they did a very good job of looking for him and feeding him when he got a smaller player on him. Didn't do that. We also said Michigan had to rotate well and locate those shooters. We know how much Villanova loves that three-point shot. They did a pretty good job early on. But hey, Villanova still managed to hit like, what, 10, 12 three-pointers? And finally, we said that Michigan had to hope that Villanova had shot themselves out on Saturday night when everything they threw up went in against Kansas. And for a while, it looked like that might be the case. But Michigan just had no answer for Dante DiVincenzo. Too quick, too good of a shooter, too strong. Oh, and don't forget, sneaky athletic. Hey, Michigan just couldn't hang with all of the firepower that the Villanova Wildcats had. I think if there is one thing we learned here, it is that first off, Jay Wright has entered the realm of elite coaches in college basketball. And also that people should probably start listening to the Daily Dose because we laid out exactly how this was going to go. Michigan didn't follow through on it. Hey, congratulations to the Villanova Wildcats, though. That is a well-earned title. Hey, coming back, We do have some breaking news that we've got to get to today, including a brand new service coming to you from a major sports network. How in the world can we say no to that? It probably won't be that hard. Of course, the Daily Dose NCAA Bracket Challenge is now complete with the tournament finishing up last night. Entry, Hoops, There It Is, wins the Daily Dose Bracket Challenge. Yes, congratulations. Congratulations to Hoops, There It Is. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know who that is, but congratulations on winning the Daily Dose March Madness Bracket Challenge. Hey, I welcome you. Hoops, There It Is, I welcome you. Reach out to us here at the show if you'd like to stop by. If you'd like to make an appearance, the invitation is open to you. Congrats to Hoops, There It Is. By the way, a few other notable names in the Bracket Challenge. Court Stormers takes second place in our Bracket Challenge. Honey B1 gets third place in the challenge. Hey, yours truly, I get fourth place in the Bracket Challenge. Big Rob comes in fifth, and Mrs. Doth gets seventh. So there you have it. Our Daily Dose Bracket Challenge. And like I said, hey, congrats to everyone who participated. Congrats to Hoops There Is for actually winning the Bracket Challenge. And like I said, you have an open invitation. If you'd like to reach out to the show, we would love to hear from you. Little bit of breaking news coming out today. Some stats we are getting coming out in Major League Baseball yesterday. Not sure if you realize this, but some stats coming out in Major League Baseball. Do you realize that the average age of a Major League Baseball player on opening day this year, 2018, has dropped to 28.91 years. That's actually down a little bit from 29.13 years at the start of last season. Not sure if that means anything. Baseball players getting a little bit younger. If you are wondering, the Philadelphia Phillies are actually the youngest team in all of baseball. 26.92 average years of age, according to their roster. Other teams with very young age averages, Cincinnati, 27.49. Miami is sitting at 27.85. The Pittsburgh Pirates, just a shade under 28 at 27.97. St. Louis, average age is just a hair over 28. And the New York Yankees are 28.04. Yankees, a young, very, very talented team, though. Meanwhile, on the other side, you have the Toronto Blue Jays as the oldest team in Major League Baseball. The Toronto Blue Jays' average age, just a shade over 31 years of age. Kind of interesting. Other teams that are a little bit older, Los Angeles Angels at 30.32. Seattle Mariners, also 30.17. The San Francisco Giants, 30.15, and the Cleveland Indians, kind of a dark horse team to look at as we are kind of watching this Major League Baseball season get started. Cleveland Indians are at 30.08 average years of age. Kind of interesting, you know, to look at some of these teams and where they're at, kind of think of how some of these teams are shaping up. And of course, in the next week or two, I don't know, sometime, we will get to our Major League Baseball preview. You know how I feel about baseball. It's always a little bit tough to get too hyped for baseball. And has there ever been a season that like you were less excited about baseball? I mean, there are a few storylines out there in baseball that we should be excited about. I mean, we talked about the Yankees a little bit. Houston Astros bringing back a ton of talent. Some of the different teams that are moving and getting better around the league. Who's going to contend? Who is going to be that team in the fall that gets hot that maybe we didn't see coming? We'll discuss those a little bit later, but it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of excitement just yet about Major League Baseball. But just kind of taking a look at some of the average ages around different teams, because it does, it looks like we're starting to get some younger players in this sport, which is really, really interesting to me. Because while the average age of the players is at about 28.9, the average age of the people watching baseball is about 82.9. Like, that's a weird coincidence, right? That's really, really strange that it's that exact number just kind of flipped. I don't know. Just kind of a weird, odd coincidence. Wanted to sort of throw that out there to you. Not sure if you saw this in the news. ESPN's standalone subscription streaming service is coming. Yes, ESPN Plus is going to be launching next week, April 12th, for $4.99 per month. $5 a month, you can get ESPN Plus. Now, customers can choose to pay the annual price of $49.99. You get it for the full year. The service doesn't actually have the core ESPN cable channel itself, but ESPN is hoping that it has a comprehensive mix of professional and college sports, and that will make that up to you and kind of bring in some more customers anyways, right? There won't be a separate app for ESPN Plus. It's just going to kind of be integrated into their main ESPN mobile app, which like a lot of us have. I know I have that on my phone right now. You know, I'm just kind of wondering what kind of programming, though, they can put on a subscription streaming service. Like, what is it they're going to be showing all hours of the day on the subscription streaming service? I mean, are we getting like, I don't know, college badminton? What is it that they're showing? I'm just kind of wondering what kind of shows that service is going to have on it. Like, in addition to live sports, we know they're going to have some pro sports. We know they're going to have some college sports. What else are they? You know, let's look this up. Let's kind of check and see. Oh yeah, here's a list. Here's a list that they have of some shows that are going to be on the ESPN streaming service. You know, I think they're trying to be like Netflix is what ESPN is trying to do. They're trying to kind of get into that Netflix, Hulu kind of area where they have kind of their own original programming, maybe some 30 for 30s. Yes, there'll be some live things, but I think they're going to try to get some shows going. Here's a few shows that they're showing they're going to be having on that new ESPN subscription service. Let's see. CSI Bristol. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to tune in for that. I don't know how much big time crime is taking place in Bristol. That doesn't seem that interesting to me. What else they have here? The Walking Dead? Really? ESPN got The Walking Dead. That's crazy. Oh, wait, never mind. That's my bad. It's not that Walking Dead. It's not that show with the zombies. It's not that. This is actually a series following the travails of new Cleveland Browns quarterbacks when they get to town. Seems a little odd. I mean, I guess the title fits, but that wasn't exactly what I was expecting when I heard that title. What else do we have here? Sunday Night Baseball. Ain't nobody watching that crap. Why would you even put that on? Man, you might as well offer us Thursday Night Football. Jeez, nobody's tuning in for that. It's the best idea you have. All the brilliant people you have over at ESPN, that's the best idea you have. Sunday Night Baseball. Get out of here. Come on now. You know, it kind of seems, I'm looking at this list that shows some of the shows that are going to be on this ESPN Plus. Have you seen that show, Black-ish? I don't know if you've seen that. That show with Anthony Anderson and Tracy Ross and Lawrence Fishburne. It kind of looks like, just looking at these titles, it looks like ESPN is trying to follow that model for Black-ish. Because they've got a few different shows on here. I've never heard it. I don't know how these are going to be, but let's see. They have Mike Greenberg starring in Jewish. I don't know if I'm going to tune in for that. They have Lee Corso and Dickie Vitale. What show are they going to be in? Looks like they're going to be starring in a show called Senile-ish. It's kind of interesting. Might be kind of fun to watch those two bump around. Let's see. We have a Chris Berman show. He's going to take on a new series. It's called Drunkish. Okay. Come on. Come on. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. Let's see what else we have here. Stephen A. Smith. Yeah, Stephen A. Smith, you know, he's always kind of controversial, trying to stir things up. Stephen A. Smith, it looks like he's got a new show called Windbaggish. I mean, I guess that's kind of fitting. Not sure that's going to catch on, but I understand it is what I'm saying. Not sure it's going to be a, you know, a huge hit, but okay. Windbaggish, I guess I see that. Finally, let's see. Last show we show here. We have a new documentary series about the network itself, about actually how ESPN is running, how they're doing business-wise. It's called Broke-ish. Yes. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. You know, I'm not sure any of those programs are going to get me to subscribe to ESPN Plus, but that's me. That's me. You might like that sort of thing. I'm actually cool on all that. I don't need that kind of thing on my app or my mobile device or any of those things. I don't actually need that, but maybe you do. Maybe that's something that you'd like to tune in for. Hey, coming back, like we said, you know, March Madness is now complete. And while March Madness is always so, so good, it seems like we always just remember how it finished. We don't always remember the storylines it took to get there. Coming back, we're going to take a look back at some of those more memorable moments from March Madness. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you've got any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose for all of the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. April's Loot Crate theme, it's called Artifacts. It features items from Marvel Comics, Lord of the Rings, The Legend of Zelda, and The Dark Crystal. Now, if none of those franchises appeal to you, never fear. Go over to lootcrate.com. You're going to find a number of different franchises that are going to appeal to you, that are going to be in an interest that you have. And they've got all different kinds of items. Things for your house, things for your kitchen, things for your desk at work, things for your car, things for your pets, all different kinds of clothes. You name it, you can find it over at Loot Crate. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. So make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com and do any of that shopping you might need to get done. Every single season, March Madness lives up to the hype. And for all of the nonsense that we hear about this tournament just awards the hottest teams, not necessarily the best teams, and there's too many upsets, and the best teams don't even get through, and all that nonsense, whatever. You know, March Madness is as good as it gets. Step up and play or go home. Do we see upsets? Yes. Are matchups a key component of March Madness? Yes, of course they are. But I don't need a 7-game series every single sport, every single night, every single time. A win and go home mentality. For me, it just doesn't get much better than that. But you know, it's kind of funny because as the tournament wears on, it just kind of seems like our memory gets shorter, doesn't it? We think back right now, and of course we remember Villanova winning this title. But sometimes we forget some of the other storylines along the way in these tournaments. You know, we remember the University of Nevada, Las Vegas winning the title in 1990. But we kind of forget that was the same year that Bo Kimble led Loyola Marymount all the way to the Elite Eight. What do we remember from that year? Oh yeah, UNLV blew out Duke in the final. We forget what a great story that was with Loyola Marymount rallying around their lost player Hank Gathers and the run that they went on. No one suspected that was going to happen. No one foresaw that was going to happen. We kind of forget about that. You know, we remember the Florida Gators going to the first of their two championships in 2006, but we kind of forget that was the same year George Mason went clear to the Final Four. So you sit there and say, well, I remember George Mason. Like, I remember that. Did you remember that the Bradley Braves went clear to the Sweet 16 that year? No, you kind of forget those things, don't you? And don't forget, it was just back in 2012 that the Kentucky Wildcats won a title over Kansas behind Anthony Davis. You see some of the things he's doing in the NBA right now, you go, wow, what a great player he was in college. How good is he getting right now? Like, he's an MVP candidate. Amazing job that he did that year. But we kind of forget that it was just back in 2012. We saw not one, but two 15 seeds pull off first round upsets. We forget Norfolk State beat Missouri as a 15. Lehigh beat the Duke Blue Devils. So today, with March Madness finishing up last night, we thought we would take a look back at some of the more memorable moments from this season of March Madness. What should we remember from 2018? Of course, we are going to remember the Villanova Wildcats winning the title this year, but what else should we remember from this March Madness tournament? Now, if you listen to the Daily Dose, you know we were propping up Loyola Chicago prior to even the conference tournaments. You can go back and find it. You can go back and look. We were talking about Loyola Chicago way before any of the conference tournaments even began. But we should remember the Loyola Chicago Ramblers run to the Final Four. You know, this team, they had played a few ranked teams and they were more than capable of playing with anyone in the country. Now, the tournament, to be honest, it did break nicely for them. They got a struggling Miami team.
One timeout, they don't take it. He got it! And the Ramblers are moving on!
They upset a pretty hot Tennessee team, but then they got to play number 7 Nevada and number 9 Kansas State to go clear to the Final Four. But Don't take anything away from Loyola. Their tenacious defense, their solid fundamentals allowed them to wear teams down and pick up a few kind of unlikely wins. Loyola had a nice mix of seniors and underclassmen, but more importantly, they understood how to play the game. Hey, their execution carried them all the way to San Antonio. Who saw that coming? Gotta remember the amazing run that Loyola Chicago went on during this March Madness. Another thing to remember. Hey, we've been talking about it for a long time. We've said for years it could happen. In fact, it was just a couple weeks ago, we talked to high school basketball coach Russ McKinstry and we discussed it could happen. But did anyone have the overall number one seed Virginia Cavaliers as the first ever number one seed to lose to a 16 in tournament history? I mean, we've had some close calls in the past, right? Georgetown barely beat Princeton by a single point back in 89. And in 1990, Michigan State actually had to go to overtime to beat Murray State. But it finally happened this season when the University of Maryland, Baltimore County knocked off number one Virginia. And you know, it didn't take a final buzzer beater. It didn't take overtime or anything crazy like that. UMBC got an early lead, shot the lights out. They hit 50% of their three-point attempts. And as the game got further along, you could just feel Virginia trying to get it back on one play, trying to do anything. What in the world can we do? We just don't want to be the team that loses to a 16. They knew they were about to be on the wrong side of history, and the harder they tried, the worse they got. A 16 didn't just beat a 1. They beat them by 20 points. We need to remember this was the season that it happened. Another thing to remember, Arizona and Michigan State, they had some struggles. And they weren't just off the court. They were on the court too. We all know this has been a challenging season for both of those squads. Arizona and head coach Sean Miller have been dealing with accusations that Miller is on an FBI wiretapped phone call promising a recruit he can get him a substantial amount of money. When it first broke, everyone was saying Miller was going to be fired. This was going to be career threatening. He even sat out a game. But then he came back, and like everyone just kind of acted like nothing ever happened. We all kind of forgot about it. Arizona went 27-8. They got the number 4 seed in the South region. Arizona was a dark horse to maybe slip through and win this whole thing. And then they promptly got smacked by 13 seed Buffalo. What does this mean for Sean Miller, who is now losing some serious talent to both the NBA draft and to other schools? As we are seeing kids change their commitments, we're going to see this offseason going to be a very, very interesting offseason for the University of Arizona. Don't want to forget about that. Meanwhile, Michigan State had a few things to contend with too. They had a player named in that same NCAA corruption case, and they also had rumors flying around that their athletic programs had mishandled some sexual abuse accusations. But hey, Tom Izzo is one of the best coaches in the country. And this Spartans team was one of the deepest and the most talented in the country. This team would bond together. They would overcome all of this stuff, right? I mean, Michigan State went 30-5. They won the Big Ten regular season. They were named the number 3 seed in the Midwest region. And then they got beat by Syracuse in the round of 32. What does any of this mean for Izzo and the Spartans? It's another story we're going to have to keep an eye on this offseason. I have no idea. But it's going to be interesting to watch. But we shouldn't forget, some of the struggles off the court might have something to do with some of the struggles on the court for both of those programs. Another thing that I know I'm going to remember from this March Madness is that Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim, he thrives in a situation where no one thinks his team should get in. What is it about barely making the tournament that Jim Boeheim, I don't know, likes so much apparently, because it was just 2 years ago that the Orange got in as a 10 seed and everyone talked about they don't even deserve to be in. Why are they even in? And Syracuse somehow went all the way to the Final Four. This year they did it again. They had to play in that stupid play-in game. Syracuse was an 11 in the Midwest region. They barely outlasted Arizona State in the first four. Then they upset number 6 TCU. Then they upset number 3 Michigan State before they gave number 2 Duke all they wanted in the Sweet 16. Hey, say what you will about Jim Boeheim, Dude is the master of playing the they don't respect us card. Maybe it comes from years of being called a nerd. I don't know what it is, but he's very, very good at it. Another thing I think we should remember about this March Madness, Florida State head coach Leonard Hamilton, he might need to be drug tested. Because following the Seminoles' 4-point loss to Michigan, Hamilton was asked why his team didn't foul to stop the clock with 11 seconds left. His answer, the game was over. What are you talking about? Now, the Michigan Wolverines had gone 16 of 24 at the free throw line. You'd think you'd foul? You'd think you'd try to make the game last a little longer? What if they miss them both? What if they miss one? You're still in it. I have no idea what he was thinking. I really don't. I didn't understand it. Sometimes, I will say this, coaches can lose track of the time and score. Maybe that's what happened to Hamilton? Let's tell ourselves that's what happened to Hamilton, because I have no idea what happened to Hamilton. That was really, really weird. You know, one of the final things I think we should remember about March Madness in 2018 is that the Duke Blue Devils could have the first four picks of the NBA draft. And no, I'm not talking about senior Grayson Allen. I think he'll get picked, but I don't think he's one of those kind of guys. But you look at Marvin Bagley. You look at Wendell Carter Jr. Look at Gary Trent Jr. Trevon Duval. Now, I don't think they're actually going to be taking with the top four picks, but what other team in the country right now, in college basketball right now, has that distinction where we're looking at, hey, you've got four first round kind of guys on your team? Villanova? Probably not. Michigan? No. Kansas? I don't think so. Loyola Chicago? Yeah, right. So how in the world were the Duke Blue Devils not playing in last night's game? Why was a team like Syracuse able to give them a game? And why was a team like Kansas able to actually beat them? Hey, you can't tell me they don't have good coaching. They've got what's maybe the best coach ever. Mike Krzyzewski is right there. He's at least on the Mount Rushmore, isn't he? So why wasn't Duke any better? They obviously have a ton of talent. They've obviously got great coaching. And I'll tell you why. Because you can see every single one of those kids on that team, all those one and done kids, and they are talented. They are insanely talented. Every single one of them has their own agenda. They don't play for each other. It's nothing personal. I don't see any like bitterness there where they hate each other, but they don't care about each other. Hey, I'm trying to get paid. I'm not worried about you. And to be honest, I hope our team does well, but it doesn't mean that much to me. I think that is one of the things that stands out the most about college basketball right now. A team that plays team basketball is still better than the most talented team out there. Villanova, Michigan, Kansas, Loyola, they might not be as talented as Duke, but the most talented team doesn't always win. Not in a game like this where you need five people working in unison, and we did not see that with a very, very talented Duke Blue Devil squad. Hey, tomorrow is Wednesday, and we just might have to hand out a few college basketball awards. You know how we do that. Plus, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. You never know what we might have to rank this week. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that message us, it is all very, very appreciated. If you are not subscribed to the show, please do us a favor. Go to wherever it is that you listen and just click that little subscribe or follow button. It would help us so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great Tuesday. I will see you all tomorrow.